Everyone dreams about living an uncommon life, but how we define that dream is very different for each of us. And for most, it's a lifelong pursuit. Welcome to the Uncommon Life Project podcast. We're going to introduce you to people who are living that life or enjoying the journey to get there. We're going to also give you some tools, tricks, and tips for starting or accelerating your own efforts to live an uncommon life, a life worth celebrating and savoring. Please welcome your hosts, Brian Dewhurst and Philip Ramsey.
Hello and welcome to another episode of everyone's favorite show, The Uncommon Life Project, where I'm your host, Philip Ramsey, and we have the one and only...
Aaron Kramer.
Yes, we do. We cannot wait to jump into this show. We have two amazing guests. And if you know anything about the show, you know that my favorite thing to interview is couples, husband and wife, people that are dominating at life. And we got those two. But before we jump in, I want to just reiterate that we are financial advisors that think very differently. In other words, we're like your advisors to the unadvisable. What does that mean? It means that if you have an amazing idea, we want to edify that by showing you how your cash flow can help you with your amazing idea so you can go impact the world and love your life. So that was my elevator speech, which great. I hate elevator speeches.
Did a good job.
So, all right, let's get the bio and then let's get them on the show because they are way more exciting than I am. Come on, let's go, Aaron.
Yeah, so I want to introduce Tony and Sarah. They are the owners of Five Burgle Bagels.
Yes.
And it is amazing. So if you don't know me, I love food. I eat a lot of it. And when I go there, like the bagels, the breakfast food, all of it is amazing. When you walk in there, it's fun. It's like, you know, like a unique outlook in there. And I don't know. It's addicting, pretty much.
It is. And when Aaron said, this is who we're going to interview, he's like, they've got this sandwich called the Empire.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That is the best thing. So welcome to the show, Tony and Sarah. We can't wait to unpack
your
phenomenon.
Yes.
Well, first off, I love that you guys are, one, doing what you're passionate about and impacting others. They do have a restaurant, Five Burrows Bagels. That is in West Des Moines. Or is it Clive? That West Des Moines, Clive area, kind of sketchy.
It's Clive. It feels West Des Moines, but it's Clive.
Yeah. It's off University. If you haven't been there, a lot of our listeners are local. You need to stop listening to this podcast and just go there.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be there anyway, so they'll probably be generous
Most
enough
likely.
To say hi.
Yeah, so they have you guys have a second location too, right?
Yeah, that second location is in Urbandale. So
Urbandale.
That's in the works, and it'll be open sometime in August.
Ah, so good. Okay, so this is my first question, because it's always like, what is he going to ask? Basically, that's what all of our listeners are thinking.
Right.
This is what I've heard, and you guys debunk it, because you guys are actually thriving. Money to go to die, go to restaurants. Like, restaurant money goes to die. That's what good money goes to do. Is that true or not? Obviously, it's not for you guys, but why is that saying out there? Like,
I feel that because it's so... true in so many places. But you really gotta like fight tooth and nail every day.
Yeah. You gotta learn your numbers too.
Right.
You gotta set a formula into making sure you're making a profit
on every single item. I mean, I'm dyslexic and I'm a numbers person, so you can imagine the struggle I have. But numbers are my thing. So we work really well off of each other because Tony doesn't really like the number.
I feel you, Sarah, there.
I mean, a lot of people who tend to fail in restaurants is because they don't know how to handle their money. You know, a lot of people want to open restaurants because they have a passion for it.
Yes.
But once you go into it, you have to deal with payroll. You have to deal with HR.
Taxes.
You have to deal with taxes. You have to deal with, you know, bookkeeping. So there's a whole team there. And if you really think about it, if you don't know any of those, you're going to set yourself up to fail, unfortunately.
Right. Have you ever read this book called The E-Myth? I don't know if you either one of you.
I haven't, but that's...
Oh, guys. What you are describing is the crux of the book. They take a baker that's amazing at making pies.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, she opens up a business that is what? Making pies. And what she finds is she almost imprisons herself because she doesn't have people to replicate her business. She just has to go and then go make pies.
Right.
And so she hates it at the end. And the only time it's successful is when she makes the pies. She doesn't make it scalable. She doesn't know her numbers. And so a big thing is what you guys are saying is like, you got to know your numbers. Basically, you guys wrote that book and you guys are killing it.
You know, some people may call it petty, and we're very transparent, you know, since day one with a lot of things, pretty much everything. But I mean, down to like the parchment paper and foil we use.
Yes.
You know, when our staff drops like four or five of them, that's money. I'm already doing math in my head. Like, oh, you just cost me 15 cents. But I mean, it adds up, you know, so.
How do you go about understanding those numbers at first? Sorry, this is Aaron. Aaron knows you better than I do, and I feel like I'm totally taking over.
You're good.
So how do you know the numbers? Like, how does one go about understanding the numbers?
We do everything ourselves when it comes to menu design, creating a menu, ordering products. It's all us. We're all involved, all in. So that's how we know, like, price increases per week.
Mm-hmm. And when you're doing like a formula, when you're trying to find the percent of profit you're looking for when you sell an item,
right,
we always want to shoot for under 30%. And that's what's helping us out a lot, too. Granted, some things have been changing, obviously, because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
There's prices that have jumped, doubled, tripled. And then obviously the payroll with our staff, we're having to increase all of their pay too. So
yeah,
it's still in the works. Have we mastered anything yet? No, because I'm a big believer is if you need to, if you're wanting to grow more, you got to be willing to be open and listen to others. And there's always room to change and grow.
Yeah. Collect good feedback. Exactly. Okay. Poor Aaron's going to ask a question. It's going to go on the same thought track, but I want to go backwards. Oh. Have you always been a restaurant owner? The answer is no. So tell me like a little bit of your history and how you got to where you're at. And I'd like to know, cause it's Philip. I want to know how you guys met. Cause you're obviously married. I don't know if we ever said that in the podcast yet. They're married. Ta-da.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
We actually met in Union Square in New York City.
Wow. And this is like a movie. Keep going, Sarah. Keep going.
I was 19 and
I knew her sister actually for about a couple of years before I even met Sarah. Mm-hmm. And I met her and she had a Newport sticking out of her mouth.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's just get a straight. It's a Newport 100.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool. Okay.
Some people will.
Okay.
But I was a smoker back then too, but we automatically clicked. Became friends. I just got out of a bad relationship of 7 years and I was not ready for anything.
I was secretly in love with him the whole time.
Yes, you were. I've met Tony. I get it.
Get in line, like I said. Line,
so good.
No, but yeah, we were best friends for years and I told him I'd wait it. I will wait. And I did.
And
that's so awesome.
Something about her, like about willing to wait, just kind of melted my heart. And eventually, you know, after knowing each other for about 4 or 5 years being friends, we were at my karaoke bar because I love karaoke.
At your karaoke bar, not the one you owned, but the one that you would own on the stage, that one? Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
No, but I asked her to marry me at our going away party.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Wait, we were just at the karaoke and then you realized that you actually liked her like different than friends.
We were actually dating
at that time
for what, maybe a year. Mm-hmm. And he took the mic and karaoke proposed.
What was your song? Wait.
Oh my.
What's your go-to song?
He has a song.
Yeah, it's Albie by Edwin McCain.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, paint the picture and then you get down on your knee. Did you sing first or did you just like go straight to it?
Oh, I sang first. I wasn't even going to ask her to marry me at that time because we were about to move to Iowa and I wanted to be romantic, but it made sense because everyone that she knew there and loved were all there and we just wanted to be there and celebrate. So I was kind of forced, but...
Excuse me?
No.
And in the best way.
Back
in the
best it up. Way.
No, it was, I wouldn't change anything. It was a fun night.
That's so amazing. So you get down on your knee, you propose. First off, just so we're all on the same page, I had like this whole thing I wanted to say to my wife before I proposed. And what came out looked like more like the Dumb and Dumber thing. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Okay. It didn't go according to plan. So if you would have put a microphone in front of me right then, people would be like, uh-oh, I think he had a stroke. So did you say what you wanted to in the microphone? Or like, I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with your uncommon path, but it kind of does. So let's go
there.
For the most part. But yeah, I cried like a baby.
So, yes, Tony.
So did I.
And then like the end of the night, like she was wearing this bright red lipstick and it was like all over me. It was pretty funny.
Yes, it was. So why were you moving to Iowa and what were you doing in New York?
Great question.
Oh, we wanted a fresh start. Sarah just had graduated as a graphic designer. She couldn't find a job anywhere because, you know, most places had wanted 10 plus years of experience,
right?
Which is crazy. And
how
I
are you
was
supposed to get experience if you can't get a job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, I know.
So I was working like nonstop, just, you know, in New York, you had to hustle just to pay rent. And I was living in the living room too. So we were like, you know what? We are in our mid 20s.
Half of a living room.
Right. Well, we're living in our 20s there. And we decided to up and leave, come to Iowa, check it out, see what's here, you know, see what's here. I started working at the Marriott and became a manager for their bar and restaurant. Sarah became a art director for a small magazine company.
Yeah, we kind of just, first off, we never had the same work schedule ever, like as a couple. So
in New York or ever?
Ever. I worked overnight for the Register as a designer, and that was horrible schedule wise for us as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then we morphed into the idea.
And you want to tell them how we got started with the bagels?
Wait, I don't want that yet. Iowa?
Sorry.
Where's Iowa? Like, you're from Tony's New York.
Tony's from Pella.
I'm from Pella.
Oh, there it is. That's why he's so good at karaoke.
We did drive a U-Haul, you know, from Queens.
Yeah.
Straight to Pella.
Okay.
I cried a lot.
Yeah.
Were you like, just like, wow, that just got really flat.
But newly engaged, everyone. Newly engaged.
Newly engaged. Lots of flatness.
Yeah. All my friends from New York are like, when I was up in college, like, Iowa's so flat. I'm like, it's not that flat. What are you talking about?
Is.
Well, then I got to go to New York. And I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
You don't know until you know.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was born and raised here. And I don't really get out much.
See, go back to Pella, Tony. That was bold. Bold move.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed Pella. And, but it was, I just turned 18, dealing with a lot of personal things in my life, and I just needed to go. And I upped and left, and I started a new life in New York. It's crazy. But I stuck around to make sure my family was okay, too. Mm-hmm. And I lived there for 10 years in New York. But at that time, in our mid-20s, when me and Sarah decided to move to Iowa, it was just the perfect timing, I think, because especially for Des Moines too. We decided to come when everything was just growing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So now bagels. Now we're there. Sorry.
Just a little detour.
That's actually a really cool story. So we were in our townhome, and I believe it was either a Tuesday. I remember the day started with a T, Tuesday or Thursday. I don't know why.
Narrowed it down.
So it was raining that night, and I remember going to Tony, I'm like, hey, I really want a New York style bagel. And out here, there's no such thing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So we went to Target and bought all the ingredients. And however many hours later, we pulled them out of the oven, tasted it, and we were like, holy shit, this is delicious.
Let's go.
And so I jokingly looked at him and I'm like, oh my God, Tony, let's open a bagel shop. And then he was like, okay. And then I was like, okay.
Oh man, we risked everything. But
literally that night we were looking at spaces.
That's so awesome. Goosebumps.
I felt like we should like slow clapped you into that story. That was how awesome that was.
It was just so like, I remember calling my dad that next morning, you know, cause all my family's in New York
and Israel.
And I remember he was like, what? Are you crazy?
Yeah. Come again? Where are you even living?
Much.
Yeah. I mean, everyone still thinks we're crazy. I think we're crazy, but you kind of have to be in this industry.
You do.
Yeah, you have to be risk takers. And
you have to be
open to failure even.
So you nailed your first thing out of the oven. So kudos to you for sure there. But you really didn't have a background in cooking, right? Or baking? What do you say? Baking?
Well, being in the restaurant industry since I was 16 helped me out a lot. And I also had the experience with the hospitality.
Right.
You know, I shadowed Martha Stewart in New York. And I... I didn't really do much. I just took care of her dogs.
You got her on her cell phone. You got her on her cell phone. You probably did because you were into dogs. Okay.
That's cool. Important too, but.
But yeah, I definitely learned how to take care of people. And I think if you ever go to our shop, I mean, we'll get to it in more detail, but we do teach our staff to be very prompt and making sure that customers always being taken care of and acknowledged. That's the most important thing too. You want people to come back as regulars. We're on first name basis with a lot of people.
Right. Yes. And love that.
Like my background is Nordstrom in New York. So Tony's is Marriott. So, I mean, we came from very strict,
pretty strong pedigree.
Yeah.
Pretty strong. I'm all marketing as well. So Tony had restaurant, I had marketing, and we both just meshed really well when it came to that.
Yeah. It's basically going back to the basics. I know it's very played out and, but if you really think about it, like, I don't know what year or what decade it would have been, but there used to be a time when people put passion into what they were doing. You don't see that a lot anymore. It's always about money-driven kind of places.
Slightly robotic.
Yeah, and people forget that, you know, there's others who want to be heard, who wants a relationship, not just with the owners or the employees, but with the restaurant itself. And I think we provide that for a lot of people, hence why we have lots of customers who support us when we need them.
That's great.
That is like, so everything you just said is like awesome. It's so uncommon. But like, I want our listeners to know this too, because you guys had this amazing idea, got goosebumps for telling the story. Now, the biggest thing is like, how much did it cost you guys to get up and running?
Like, great question.
Yeah, that's...
Well, we definitely had to take some shortcuts because being in our mid-20s, you know, without a secure job, we...
Just moved across the country.
Just got married.
Oh, you guys got married now. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're married by that time. We took our life savings and put that money into investing into this restaurant. Granted, we took some shortcuts, so we definitely wanted to find a spot where everything was going to be less stress on us, meaning some of the equipment was still there.
Right.
The layout was there.
There are hidden secrets, like we are next to a bank, we are next to a grocery store. You know, there's times, you know, even currently, you run out of things.
So right, the location, location, location.
Absolutely. And all the businesses, you know, with our regulars, I mean, it's really convenient for them and us.
Right. So quick, before we go on further, and you don't have to answer this, but I feel like a lot of times people think that they need to amass all this wealth before they can start an investment, which I love this. So like, what are we talking about? Just give us like dollar amounts that like you had.
$7,000.
Where are we talking?
It's a little hard to say. We don't really like to share it into, you know, too depth.
Sure.
I can't talk. In too deep with that, but let's just say it was a little more than expected and there were a lot of panic attacks.
Sure. Okay. Because it was all you had. You don't have like a backstop.
Literally no franchise background. Like literally
nothing.
And it's hard to even get a loan without any kind of history.
Right. No history. Right.
No collateral.
Because at the townhome we were in, that was in a balloon rate for our interest. Like it wasn't even a mortgage because we weren't even in Iowa long enough to get a mortgage. That makes sense.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Because we were all high risk everywhere.
Yeah. It's basically in the nutshell, you guys risked everything as a young couple.
Literally everything.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, we did spend maybe less than $100,000 just to open something like this.
Sure.
Granted, okay, that sounds like a lot of money still, but you also have to risk into spending money to make money. I mean, everyone's heard that saying.
Absolutely. And
it's definitely true.
Which, yeah, where, you know, where you talk about risk taking, somebody that has no, you know, back, you know, no help or backup plan, which obviously we learn later, you always need a plan B, C, D, but
that's not true.
I mean, that's
probably smart. So
people ask me that, like, they're like, what's your contingent plan? I'm like, what's a contingent plan? I have my plan. I will do everything I can to make this plan work.
But so, just, you know, the stars don't align sometimes.
Right, right.
And we've been there many times. Like, our daughter was born 3 months early in the middle of a new restaurant.
Yeah, that was the second year being open. And, you know, we didn't profit for the first or 2 years. It was scary.
And then our staff, I think during that time, it was very vital because a lot of them just up and left. And we were left with a 2-pound baby in the NICU and then going to work and then going back to the hospital. And then I really fell into a deep, deep, deep depression.
So, and yeah,
that was very dark. It was a very dark time.
Wow.
Yeah, I know we're supposed to inspire new baby people.
No, this is inspiring. Real. This is real.
Yeah.
So like new baby, restaurant / Five Boroughs Bagels. You've got to get it off the ground. So what we kind of say in analogy is like you're on a plane, you're going down the runway. It hasn't taken off the runway yet. Does that make sense? And right, you, at some point, let's just say the cash flow that you did save, you know that runway is going to run out eventually, right? That's correct, the risk. And so are you going to get this hangar off the runway faster than the runway ends on you? Right. And then you put a baby that's 3 months early in the mix. I mean, I could really see, let's say everything is running great, having a baby and after that is real. Like there are real emotions. So like the depression sounds like that's almost to be expected, but then you add the whole business component on it and it's a whole different whirlwind.
Yeah. Well, the key word that stuck out was different. So I, you know, of course it takes two to get that baby, but I was a different person after that experience. And what are we, 4 years in? I don't think I'll ever recover mentally, but
wow,
fully.
Yeah. I mean, deals with it every day and we both do, but we have to keep moving. And there's a lot of things that can hit you. I mean, we just recently had a miscarriage too.
Wow.
And is it hard? Yes.
So sorry.
But we keep moving on and we look forward to doing something that we know how to do, which is having this business run very well.
Right. Because the passion is still there. And, you know, our communication, like Tony mentioned earlier with being sober, it is a huge help as far as communication.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
Even now going through dark times.
So to let our listeners a little bit in, so we, Aaron and I went to the Five Boroughs Bagels actually yesterday and saw Tony, and Aaron said, "Hey, Tony, you look great. Have you lost weight?" And Tony said, "Yes, I have 40 pounds. And Aaron, next question is like, how did you do that? And I was really keen to hear this because I was excited about it. And then he said, "Well, I've stopped drinking. It's one of those things. I've started exercising." So that's what, when you say that you've stopped drinking. So talk to us about that kind of continuum, Tony, and how you came to that realization. And then also what it's given not only your business, but your marriage, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, to anyone who drinks, you have to decide yourself whether or not you want it in your life. I'm not against drinking at all, but I had to find out on my own that it was not helping me. Maybe it was temporarily fixed, but in the long run, when I was doing it every day, it didn't only affect my mind state, but it affected my marriage. There's times when Sarah needed me mentally and I was just not there, or I wouldn't remember and I just wanted to relax.
And this is during a time, you know, especially when I'm going through the postpartum issues and, you know, my brain just took a U-turn. I was getting like suicidal thoughts and I was in a very, very dark place and I couldn't even rely 100% on my husband because of it.
That just makes me really sad, like so, disappointed in myself.
Sure. But this is why we're talking about it, because it's right. real and it really happened. And we are continuing every day to wow. be better. And it's
yeah,
worked. Right.
I'm just
praise the Lord, thinking of you, Tony, of like stepping up and seeing that and making 100%. The change. It is not easy.
Yeah, like it's talk about the like the definition of masculinity. It there is that right there. Yeah, like you did it. Like you were like you own like you like dug inside, you looked inside yourself, right. you realized it and you stepped up. Like
right. yeah.
And I as his wife, I can't even put into words how proud. I mean, he's had you know, a really rough go at life in his early years. And now I feel like, you know, this was just an obstacle that he overcame. And I am so proud of you.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, too. Like, this whole time I was drinking for years and years, and it kind of opened up something in my brain where it was slowly healing. And I'm like, wow, it's like I can actually think straight without having some kind of anxiety.
Right.
Wow. So it's definitely opened up a piece of my brain where I can be a little more confident. And I'm also a big believer on words. Mm-hmm. You tell yourself that you're something, then you are, you know. Mm-hmm. What kind of helped me throughout this process of stopping drinking is it did not work for me, but I understand it works for other people. I did try the AA meetings. Mm-hmm. But I just did not agree with someone standing up saying, I'm an alcoholic. Because right then and there, you're giving alcohol the power.
Sure.
The power to control you. You're scared of alcohol. The labeling. Yeah. Sure. And you go to bars like, oh, no, I can't be there. Or people act weird like, oh, you're not drinking. I don't want to be around you. Then I don't want to make you drink. So it's I'm like, so I say I'm not a formal alcoholic. I just say drinking is not for me and I don't like it. But I'm not going to judge anyone for doing that.
Right.
So, yeah, just like right. last night, we had a gathering and it was fun. I got to hang out with people. Yeah, they were drinking, but I don't mind it. And I can actually remember it. So.
Yeah. So good. And it seems like when you look at the past, you saw how foggy you were actually living your life. There was like a haze over it.
Yeah.
And now you can look back, but it's when you're in the fog, you're just like, this is my life. So like what could be different?
Yeah, I really know, but like, as we're approaching our 6-year anniversary at Five Borough, and we're, you know, reflecting on month to month, our March. So that just ended yesterday. That was our highest ever month. And we're hitting about a 13 to 20% increase in net sales every month, continuing. And like, if you really think about it, like
we never really did get to talk about numbers because
we were just in survival mode, but right. now mm-hmm. we're both mm-hmm. clear headed and we're even more
unified tune. For sure.
Right. Yeah. And we also have to thank like the staff that we have right now too. Cause
oh man. Yeah.
You know, opening this new restaurant while dealing with a growing restaurant can be very consuming, and without the proper staff not taking care of the current shop we have, we wouldn't be able to kind of plan or even do this podcast even.
Right. Cause we right. would be glued to the floor.
So good.
That really speaks to your guys' leadership.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. It did not always feel like this. Another thing we didn't really disclose with a lot of people is we had a former employee steal from us.
Oh, wow.
During our miscarriage.
And oh, wow.
That was also during the time we renovated the restaurant. So it was really dark. All the charges were pressed on her accordingly, which we're thankful for the Clive Police Department for handling that. But now we're, you know, new year, new restaurant, new team, our management team right now. Scott and Oriana. I mean, they're a gift.
Yeah, and they're a power couple just like us. Right. So,
oh, they're married? Nice.
They're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something might happen now.
Don't. Not yet, Philip. Don't.
I don't know.
That's good. Let me ask you this, Sarah, because you mentioned a couple times, like, and you seem like you're in a healthier place now.
Yes.
How did you get out of that dark place? And maybe this is going to be the most life-giving thing for maybe a listener out there. So I'd love to give you some time.
I'm not out of it, to be honest. I live with it. There are really good days. where I just put a smile. You had to have no idea. I'm very high functioning, but I found the right diagnosis and a right medication. The sertraline that I was prescribed really helped. Later in life, I was diagnosed with OCD, a severe form, which makes so much sense.
Wow.
And yeah. If you throw the numbers in there, like, oh man. But
and the dyslexia, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's a fun concoction. But I'm not out of it. I just learned to live with it, which still sucks. But all I can do is talk about it and
that's keep the most going. Important thing.